Section 5, Organizing for Evangelistic Meetings.
Methods and Organization. Subheading, A Great Work by Simple Means. The striking feature of divine operations is the accomplishment of the greatest work that can be done in our world by very simple means. It is God's plan that every part of his government shall depend on every other part. The whole is a wheel within a wheel, working with entire harmony. He moves upon human forces, causing his spirit to touch invisible chords, and the vibration rings to the extremity of the universe. Manuscript 22, 1897. Subheading, Success, the Result of Order and Harmonious Action. God is a God of order. Everything connected with heaven is in perfect order. Subjection and thorough discipline mark the movements of the angelic host. Success can only attend order and harmonious action. God requires order and system in his work now no less than in the days of Israel. All who are working for him are to labor intelligently, not in a careless, haphazard manner. He would have his work done with faith and exactness that he may place the seal of his approval upon it. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 376, 1890. Subheading, Following an Organized Plan. Footnote, the necessity and advantages of thorough organization are here set forth in several statements, some of which were directed to institutional managers. These principles, however, applying to all lines of work, justify their inclusion here. Compilers, end of footnote. It is essential to labor with order, following an organized plan and a definite object. No one can properly instruct another unless he sees to it that the work to be done shall be taken hold of systematically and in order, so that it may be done at the proper time. Well-defined plans should be freely presented to all whom they may concern, and it should be ascertained that they are understood. Then require of all those who are at the head of the various departments to cooperate in the execution of these plans. If this sure and radical method is properly adopted and followed up with interest and goodwill, it will avoid much work being done without any definite object, much useless friction. Manuscript 24, 1887. Subheading, Well-Understood Plans. The work you are engaged in cannot be done except by forces which are the result of well-understood plans. Letter 14, 1887. Subheading, Forethought, Order, and Prayer. It is a sin to be heedless, purposeless, and indifferent in any work in which we may engage, but especially in the work of God. Every enterprise connected with this cause should be carried forward with order, forethought, and earnest prayer. Review and Herald, March 18, 1884. Subheading, Thoroughness and Promptness. It will be easy to make great blunders if the business is not looked after with clear and sharp attention. Although the novice or apprentice may be energetic, if there is not in the various departments someone to oversee, someone who is properly qualified for his work, there will be failure in many respects. As the work grows, it will become impossible even occasionally to postpone jobs from one day to another. What is not done in due time, be it sacred or in secular matters, runs a great risk of not being done at all. In any case, such work can never be done so well as at the proper time. Manuscript 24, 1887. Subheading, Each in His Proper Sphere. To every man, God has appointed his work according to his capacities and capabilities. Wise planning is needed to place each one in his proper sphere in the work, in order that he may obtain an experience which will fit him to bear increased responsibility. Letter 45, 1889. Subheading, Work Like Disciplined Army. Let us remember that we are laborers together with God. We are not wise enough to work by ourselves. God has made us his stewards, to prove us and to try us, even as he proved and tried ancient Israel. He will not have his army composed of undisciplined, unsanctified, erratic soldiers who would misrepresent his order and purity. Review and Herald, October 8, 1901. Subheading, Genius to Plan and Work. Genius is wanted, ability to devise and plan and work harmoniously. We want those who will labor not merely to benefit themselves, receiving all they can get for their work, but who will labor with an eye single to the glory of God for the rapid carrying forward of the work in various lines. This is a precious opportunity to reveal their devotion to the Lord's work and their capability for it. To every man is given his work, not for the purpose of glorifying himself, but for the glory of God. Manuscript 25, 1895. Subheading, Wise Planning Saves Overwork. I must urge that the workers shall have their work so planned that they will not become worried by overwork. Letter 17, 1902. Heading, The Evangelistic Company. Subheading, Organization of Companies Call For. God says, Enter the cities. Give the inhabitants of these cities the call to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Many in the cities are still without the light of the gospel message. Those who neglect to sound forth the last message of warning will, in the future, suffer deep regret. My message is, let companies be organized to enter the cities. Seek proper locations for holding meetings. Circulate our literature. Make earnest efforts to reach the people. Letter 106, 1910. Subheading, Corps of Workers in Every Large City. In every large city, there should be a corps of organized, well-disciplined workers. Not merely one or two, but scores should be set to work. Each company of workers should be under the direction of a competent leader, and it should ever be kept before them that they are to be missionaries in the highest sense of the term. Such systematic labor, wisely conducted, would produce blessed results. Medical Ministry, pages 300, 301, 1892. Subheading, Varied Talents Needed. The Lord desires that the city shall be worked by the united efforts of laborers of different capabilities. All are to look to Jesus for direction, not depending on man for wisdom, lest they be led astray. Testimonies, volume 9, page 109, 1909. Subheading, Well-Trained Companies. There should be companies organized and educated most thoroughly to work as nurses, as evangelists, as ministers, as canvassers, as gospel students, to perfect a character after the divine similitude. Testimonies, Volume 9, pages 171, 172, 1909. Subheading, Generalship Sets Men to Work. Let every man work who can work. The very best general is not the one who does the most work himself, but one who will obtain the greatest amount of labor from others. Letter 1, 1883. Heading, Importance of Prayerful Counseling. Subheading, Meeting the Issues with Counsel and Prayer. There must be something ventured and some risks run by those on the field of battle. They must not in every movement feel that they must receive orders from headquarters. They must do the best they can under all circumstances, all counseling together with much earnest prayer to God for his wisdom. There must be union of effort. Letter 14, 1887. Subheading, Frequent Councils. In connection with the proclamation of the message in large cities, there are many kinds of work to be done by laborers with varied gifts. Some are to labor in one way, some in another. As laborers together with God, they should seek to be in harmony with one another. There should be frequent counsels and earnest, wholehearted cooperation. Yet all are to look to Jesus for wisdom, not depending upon men alone for direction. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 109, 1909. Subheading, Brother, Consult with Brother. As workers, we need to consult together over difficult matters. It is right that brother should consult with brother, and it is our privilege, after we have done this, to bow together in prayer and ask for divine wisdom and counsel. but for one human voice to be controlling power is a sad mistake. Letter 186, 1907. Subheading, Defects Revealed. In the work of the laborers, there should be a counseling together. No one is to strike out in his own independent judgment and work according to his own mind unless he has a treasury of his own from which to draw. I have been shown that the management of the work must not be trusted to inexperienced hands. Those who have not had breadth of experience are not the ones to take large responsibilities, although they may think themselves qualified to do so. Their brother may see defects where they themselves see only perfection. Review and Herald, December 8, 1885. Subheading, Ministers to Take Time to Pray. I am drawn out to call upon our people to make every effort to save souls. We need increased faith. The hearts of our church members should be drawn out in prayer for those who are preaching the gospel. And ministers must take time to pray for themselves and for the people of God whom they are appointed to serve. Letter 49, 1903. Subheading, Prayer Seasons Bring Encouragement. As workers, let us seek the Lord together. Of our own selves we can do nothing, but through Christ we can do all things. God intends that we shall be a help and a blessing to one another, and that we shall be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God lives and reigns, and He will give us all the help we need. It is our privilege at all times to draw strength and encouragement from His blessed promise, "My grace is sufficient for you." Historical Sketches, page 129, 1886. Heading, Unity in Diversity. Subheading, God's Plan and a Diversity of Gifts. In all the Lord's arrangements, there is nothing more beautiful than His plan of giving to men and women a diversity of gifts. The church is His garden, adorned with a variety of trees, plants, and flowers. He does not expect the hyssop to assume the proportions of the cedar, nor the olive to reach the height of the stately palm. Many have received but a limited religious and intellectual training, but God has a work for this class to do if they will labor in humility, trusting in Him. Letter 122, 1902. Subheading, Characters as Varied as the Flowers. From the endless variety of plants and flowers, we may learn an important lesson. All blossoms are not the same in form or color. Some possess healing virtues. Some are always fragrant. There are professing Christians who think it their duty to make every other Christian like themselves. This is man's plan, not the plan of God. In the Church of God, there is room for characters as varied as are the flowers in a garden. In a spiritual garden, there are many varieties of flowers. Letter 95, 1902. Subheading, Diverse in Mind and Ideas. Diverse in mind, in ideas, one subject is to bind heart to heart, the conversion of souls to the truth, which draws all to the cross. Letter 31, 1892. Special talents for special work. One worker may be a ready speaker, another a ready writer. Another may have the gift of sincere, earnest, fervent prayer. Another gift of singing. Another may have special power to explain the Word of God with clearness. And each gift is to become a power for God because He works with a laborer. To one, God gives the word of wisdom. To another, knowledge. To another, faith. But all are to work under the same head. The diversity of gifts leads to a diversity of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. 1 Corinthians 12:6. The Lord desires His chosen servants to learn how to unite together in harmonious effort. It may seem to some that the contrast between their gifts and the gifts of a fellow laborer is too great to allow them to unite in harmonious effort. But when they remember that they have varied minds to be reached, that some will reject the truth as it is presented by one laborer, only to open their hearts to God's truth as it is presented in a different manner by another laborer, they will hopefully endeavor to labor together in unity. Their talents, however diverse, may all be under the control of the same Spirit. In every word and act, kindness and love will be revealed. And as each worker fills his appointed place faithfully, the prayer of Christ for the unity of his followers will be answered, and the world will know that these are his disciples. The workers in the large cities must act their several parts, making every effort to bring about the best results. They are to talk faith and to act in such a way as to impress the people. They are not to narrow the work down to their own particular ideas. In the past, too much of this has been done by us as a people, and it has been a drawback to the success of the work. Let us remember that the Lord has different ways of working, that he has different workmen to whom he entrusts different gifts. Testimonies, Volume 9, pages 144 to 146, 1909. Subheading, Satan's Efforts to Divide Workers. As we begin active work for the multitudes in the cities, the enemy will work mightily to bring in confusion, hoping thus to break up the working forces. Some who are not thoroughly converted are in constant danger of mistaking the suggestions of the enemy as the leadings of the Spirit of God. As the Lord has given us light, let us walk in the light. Manuscript 13, 1910. Subheading, Beware of Satan's Plans. Not all who take hold of the work will be of the same temperament. They will not be men of the same education or training, and they will just as surely work at cross purposes, as they are different in character, unless they are daily converted men. Every day Satan has his plans to carry out, certain lines that will hedge up the way of those who are witnesses for Jesus Christ. Now, unless the living human agents for Jesus are humble, meek, and lowly of heart because they have learned of Jesus, they will just as surely fall under temptation as they live. For Satan is watching and artful and subtle, and the workers, if not prayerful, will be taken unawares. He steals upon them as a thief in the night and makes them captives. Then he works upon the minds of individuals to pervert their individual ideas and frame their plans. And if brethren see danger and speak of it, they feel that a personal injury has done them, that someone is trying to weaken their influence. One draws one way and another in an opposite direction. The work has been bound about, false moves have been made, and Satan has been pleased. If self had not been so carefully, tenderly cherished, lest it should not find room enough to preserve its native dignity, the Lord could have used these differently constituted characters to do a good work, and much larger. For in their diversity of talent, yet unity in Christ was the power of their usefulness. If, like the diverse branches of the vine, they were centered in the vine stalk, all would bear the rich clusters of precious fruit. There would be perfect harmony in their diversity, for they are partakers of the nourishment and fatness of the vine. The Lord is displeased with the want of harmony that has existed among workers. He cannot impart his Holy Spirit, for they are bent on having their own way, and the Lord presents to them his way. Great discouragements will come in from Satan and his confederacy of evil. But all ye who are brethren, and it is an offense to God when you allow your individual unsanctified traits of character to be active agencies to discourage one another. Letter 31, 1892. Subheading, Press Together, Press Together. Love of self, pride, and self-sufficiency lie at the foundation of the greatest trials and discords that have ever existed in the religious world. Again and again, the angel has said to me, press together, be of one mind, of one judgment. Christ is the leader, and you are brethren. Follow him. Letter 4, 1890. Subheading, Strife for Supremacy. Linked together in confidence, in the bonds of holy love, brother may receive from brother all the help that can possibly be obtained from one another. Strife for the supremacy makes manifest a spirit that, if cherished, will eventually shut out from the kingdom of God those who cherish it. The peace of Christ cannot dwell in the mind and heart of a workman who criticizes and finds fault with another workman simply because the other does not practice the methods he thinks best, or because he feels that he is not appreciated. The Lord never blesses him who criticizes and accuses his brethren, for this is Satan's work. Manuscript 21, 1894. Subheading, To Value Gifts of Others. My brethren, try the wearing of Christ's yoke. Come down from your spiritual stilts and practice the grace of humility. Put away every evil surmising and be willing to see the value of the gifts God has bestowed on your brethren. Letter 125, 1903. Subheading, different in temperament, but united in spirit. In our home, we have no dissension, no words of impatience. My workers are different in temperament, and their ways and manners are different, but we blend in action and stand united in spirit, seeking to help and strengthen one another. We know that we cannot afford to be at variance because we differ in temperament. We are God's little children, and we ask Him to help us to live not to please ourselves and to have our own way, but to please and glorify Him. Letter 252, 1903. Heading, allowing for more than one man's method. Subheading, varied gifts combined. In our association with one another, we are to remember that all have not the same talents or the same disposition. The workers differ in plans and ideas. Varied gifts, combined, are necessary for the success of the work. Let us remember that some can fill certain positions more successfully than others. The worker who has been given tact and ability to fit him for the accomplishment of some special line of work that should not blame others for not being able to do that which he, perhaps, can do readily. Are there not things that his fellow workers can do far more successfully than he? The various talents that the Lord has entrusted to his servants are essential in his work. The different parts of the work are to be brought together, piece by piece, to make a complete whole. The parts of a building are not all the same. Neither are they made by the same process. The lines of God's work are not all the same, and neither are they to be carried forward in exactly the same way. Letter 116, 1903. Subheading, insufficiency of one man's gifts. Let not one man feel that his gift alone is sufficient for the work of God, that he alone can carry through a series of meetings and give perfection to the work. His methods may be good, and yet varied gifts are essential. One man's mind is not to mold and fashion the work according to his special ideas. In order for the work to be built up strong and symmetrical, there is need of varied gifts and different agencies, all under the Lord's direction. He will instruct the workers according to their several ability. Cooperation and unity are essential to a harmonious whole, each laborer doing his God-given work, filling his appropriate position, and supplying the deficiency of another. One worker left to labor alone is in danger of thinking that his talent is sufficient to make a complete whole. Where there is a union of workers, there is opportunity for them to consult together, to pray together, to cooperate in labor. None should feel that they cannot link up with their brethren because they do not work in exactly the same line as they themselves do. Special Testimonies, Series A, Number 7, pages 14, 15, 1874. Subheading, Where One Weak, Another Strong. The Lord moves upon ministers who have varied capabilities, that they may feed the flock of his heritage with food convenient for them. They will reveal truth on points that their brother laborer did not regard as essential. Were the work of ministering to the flock left entirely to one man, there would be deficiency in the results. In his providence, the Lord sends various workmen. One is strong on some essential point, where another is weak. Manuscript 21, 1894. Subheading, Do Not Block the Wheels. There are some minds which do not grow with the work, but allow the work to grow far beyond them. Those who do not discern and adapt themselves to the increasing demands of the work should not stand blocking the wheels and thus hindering the advancement of others. Letter 45, 1889. Subheading, Methods to be Improved. There must be no fixed rules. Our work is a progressive work, and there must be room for methods to be improved upon. But under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, unity must and will be preserved. Review and Herald, July 23, 1895. Subheading, Different Methods from the Past. Means will be devised to reach hearts. Some of the methods used in this work will be different from the methods used in the work in the past. But let no one, because of this, block the way by criticism. Review and Herald, September 30, 1902. Subheading, New Life and Old Methods. Men are needed who pray to God for wisdom and who, under the guidance of God, can put new life into the old methods of labor and can invent new plans and new methods of awakening the interest of church members and reaching the men and women of the world. Manuscript 117, 1907. Subheading, Limiting Power of God by One-Line Plans. The kind of planning that would make one man a center and pattern, neither he nor any other man can carry out. This is not the way in which the Lord works. When one man thinks that his mind is to outline the large moves and the great work of God, that his abilities are to accomplish the greatest work, he limits the power of God to fulfill his purposes in the earth. God needs men and women who will work in the simplicity of Christ to bring the knowledge of truth before those who need its converting power. But when a precise line is laid down which the workers must follow in their efforts to proclaim the message, a limit is set to the usefulness of a great number of workers. Letter 404, 1907. Subheading, Avoid a Rut. God's workmen must labor to be many-sided men, that is, to have a breadth of character, not to be one-idea men, stereotype them one manner of working, getting into a groove, and unable to see and sense that their words and their advocacy of truth must vary with the class of people that they are among and the circumstances that they have to meet. Letter 12, 1887. Subheading, Method Determined by Class of People. Let us not forget that different methods are to be employed to save different ones. Review and Herald, April 14, 1903. You have a hard field to handle, but the gospel is the power of God. The classes of people you meet with decide for you the way in which the work should be handled. Letter 97A, 1901. Subheading, No Pulling to Pieces Another's Work. Remember that we are laborers together with God. God is the all-powerful, effectual mover. His servants are his instruments. They are not to pull apart everyone laboring in accordance with his own ideas. They are to labor in harmony, fitting together in kindly, courteous, brotherly order, in love for one another. There is to be no unkind criticism, no pulling to pieces of another's work. Together, they are to carry the work forward. Review and Herald, December 11, 1900. Subheading, A Warning to Workers of Experience. I am bidden to say to my aged brethren, Walk humbly with God. Be not accusers of the brethren. You are to do your appointed work under the direction of God of Israel. The inclination to criticize is the greatest danger of many. The brethren whom you are tempted to criticize are called to bear responsibilities which you could not possibly carry, but you can be their helpers. You can do great service to the cause, if you will, by presenting your experience in the past in connection with the labors of others. The Lord has not given to any of you the work of correcting and censoring your brethren. Follow on with your brethren to know the Lord. Sympathize with those who are bearing a heavy load and encourage them wherever you can. Your voices are to be heard in unity and not in dissension. Letter 204, 1907. Heading, The City Field Training School. Subheading, Laying the Foundation for Service. Before a person is prepared to become a teacher of the truth to those who are in darkness, he must become a learner. Whenever a special effort is to be made in an important place, a well-arranged system of labor should be established so that those who wish to become colporters and canvassers and those who are adapted to give Bible readings and families may receive the necessary instruction. This should be connected with our missions, training schools, for those who are about to enter the field as laborers. They should feel that they must become as apprentices to learn the trade of laboring for the conversion of souls. The labor in these schools should be varied. The study of the Bible should be made of primary importance, and at the same time there should be a systematic training of the mind and manners that they may learn to approach people in the best possible way. All should learn how to labor with tact, and with courtesy, and with the Spirit of Christ. Review and Herald, June 14, 1887. Subheading, Training Workers During Evangelistic Series. A well-balanced work can be carried on best in the cities when a Bible school for the training of workers is in progress while public meetings are being held. Connected with this training school or city mission should be experienced laborers of deep spiritual understanding who can give the Bible workers daily instruction, and who can also unite wholeheartedly in the general public effort. And as men and women are converted to the truth, those standing at the head of the mission should, with much prayer, show these new converts how to experience the power of the truth in their hearts. Such a mission, if conducted by those who know how to manage wisely, will be a light shining in a dark place. Gospel Workers, pages 364, 365. Subheading, The Field School in Action. Brother and Sister Haskell have rented a house in one of the best parts of the city and have gathered round them a family of helpers who day by day go out giving Bible readings, selling our papers, and doing medical missionary work. During the hour of worship, the workers relate their experiences. Bible studies are regularly conducted in the home, and the young men and young women connected with the mission receive a practical, thorough training in holding Bible readings and in selling our publications. The Lord has blessed their labors. A number have embraced the truth, and many others are deeply interested. A similar work should be done in many cities. The young people who go out to labor in these cities should be under the direction of experienced, consecrated leaders. Let the workers be provided with a good home in which they may receive thorough training. Review and Herald, September 7, 1905. Subheading, In Association with Experienced Worker. God calls for ministers, Bible workers, and canvassers. Let our young men and young women go forth as evangelists and Bible workers in company with a worker of experience who can show them how to labor successfully. Manuscript 71, 1903. Subheading, Christ's Method of Training. In their association with the Master, the disciples obtained a practical training for missionary work. They saw how he presented truth and how he dealt with the perplexing questions that arose in his ministry. They saw his ministry in healing the sick wherever he went. They heard him preach the gospel to the poor. In our day, from the record of his life, all must learn his methods of working. Letter 208A, 1902. Subheading, Proper Training Multiplies Efficiency. One worker who has been trained and educated for the work, who is controlled by the Spirit of Christ, will accomplish far more than 10 laborers who go out deficient in knowledge and weak in the faith. One who works in harmony with the counsel of God and in unity with the brethren will be more efficient to do good than 10 will be who do not realize the necessity of depending upon God and of acting in harmony with the general plan of the work. Review and Herald, May 29, 1888. Subheading, The Training Center and Follow-Up Work. After the community has been stirred by a well-organized camp meeting, then shall the workers pull up stakes and leave to attend another camp meeting and let the work ravel out? I say, divide the workers and have some take right hold, giving Bible readings, doing coal porter work, selling tracts, etc. Let there be a mission home to prepare workers by educating them in every line of the work. This will not leave the work to ravel out. The good impressions the messengers of God have made upon the hearts and minds will not be lost. This house-to-house labor, searching for souls, hunting for the lost sheep, is the most essential work that can be done. 75 souls have been organized into a church in blank. We thank God for this. 50 of these have embraced the truth since the camp meeting. Letter 137, 1898. Heading, Reviving and Organizing the Church for Service. Subheading, Reviving Church Members. The Lord does not now work to bring many souls into the truth because of the church members who have never been converted and those who were once converted but who have backslidden. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 371, 1900. Subheading, 20 souls instead of one. There is a vast amount of rubbish brought forward by professed believers in Christ who block up the way to the cross. Notwithstanding all this, there are some who are so deeply convicted that they will come through every discouragement and will surmount every obstacle in order to gain the truth. But had the believers in the truth purified their minds by obeying it, and had they felt the importance of knowledge and refinement of manners in Christ's work, where one soul has been saved, there might have been 20. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 68, 1876. subheading First Train Church Members. In laboring where there are already some in the faith, the minister should at first seek not so much to convert unbelievers as to train the church members for acceptable cooperation. Let him labor for them individually, endeavoring to arouse them to seek for a deeper experience themselves and to work for others. When they are prepared to sustain the minister by their prayers and labors, greater success will attend his efforts. Gospel Workers, page 196, 1915. Subheading, Clearing the King's Highway. When a special effort to win souls is put forth by laborers of experience in a community where our own people live, there rests upon every believer in that field a most solemn obligation to do all in his power to clear the King's Highway by putting away every sin that would hinder him from cooperating with God and with his brethren. Review and Herald, December 6, 1906. Subheading, Counsel to Churches Where City Efforts Are Held. About 4 years ago, when Elder Haskell and others were conducting a Bible training school and evening service in New York City, the word of the Lord to the workers was there. Let the believers living near the place where you are holding meetings share your burden of the work. They should feel it a duty and a privilege to help make the meetings a success. God is pleased by efforts to set them at work. He desires every church member to labor as his helping hand, seeking by loving ministry to win souls to Christ. And to the church in Los Angeles over a year ago, when the Lord was mightily stirring the people through the tent meetings in progress, was sent the word, let the Los Angeles church have special seasons of prayer daily for the work that is being done. The blessing of the Lord will come to the church members who thus participate in the work, gathering in small groups daily to pray for its success. Thus the believers will obtain grace for themselves, and the work of the Lord will be advanced. This is the way we used to do. We prayed for our own souls and for those who were carrying on the work. The Lord Jesus declares that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst of them to bless them. Let there be less talking and more sincere, earnest prayer. I fear that the effort that is being made to proclaim the truth in Los Angeles will not be appreciated. Let every man come up to the help of the Lord against the mighty foe. Where a special effort is made, as has been made by the evangelistic work done in Los Angeles, let every member of the church draw near to God. Let all search their own hearts with the light that shines from the Word. If sin is discovered, let it be confessed and repented of. Let every helper be in good working order. The Lord will hear and answer prayer. Let not the church members think that efforts should be put forth for them by the one who is impressed to labor for those who have been neglected, those in whose behalf special efforts have not heretofore been put forth. Where such an effort is made, as has been made in Los Angeles, let the members of the church clear the King's Highway and help with their means in the work being done. Let them show that they are in perfect harmony. Let them be on hand at the meetings, armed and equipped for service, ready to talk with anyone who may be interested. Let them pray and work for the lost sheep. Review and Herald, December 20, 1906. Subheading, An Example to New Converts. Let the older members be an example to those who have recently come into the truth. I entreat those who have been long in the truth not to hurt the new converts by living irreligious lives. Lay aside all murmuring and do thorough work in your own hearts. Break up the fallow ground of your hearts and seek to know what you can do to advance the work. Awake, awake, and give to the unconverted evidence that you believe the truth of heavenly origin. Unless you do awake, the world will not believe that you practice the truth that you profess to hold. Letter 75, 1905. Subheading, The Church Members to Help. The Lord requires that far greater personal effort shall be put forth by the members of our churches. Souls have been neglected. Towns and villages and cities have not heard the truth for this time because wise missionary efforts have not been made. Our ordained ministers must do what they can, but it must not be expected that one man can do the work of all. The Master has appointed unto every man his work. There are visits to be made. There is praying to be done. There is sympathy to be imparted, and the piety, the heart, and the hand of the whole church is to be employed if the work is to be accomplished. You can sit down with your friends and in a pleasant, social way, talk of the precious Bible faith. Review and Herald, August 13, 1889. Subheading, Ministers Enlist Churches in Evangelism. Sometimes ministers do too much. They seek to embrace the whole work in their arms. It absorbs and dwarfs them, yet they continue to grasp it all. They seem to think that they alone are to work in the cause of God, while the members of the church stand idle. This is not God's order at all. Review and Herald, November 18, 1884. Subheading, A Working Force Augmented by Laymen. How can our brethren and sisters continue to live close to large numbers of people who have never been warned without devising methods of setting to work every agency through whom the Lord can work to the glory of His name? Our leaders, who have had long experience, will understand the importance of these matters and can do much to increase the working forces. They can plan to reach many in the highways and the hedges. As they put forth calm, steady, devoted effort to educate the church members to engage in personal work for souls wherever there are favorable openings, success will mark their labors. Manuscript 53, 1910. Subheading, The Fields in Your Neighborhood Are Ripe. The truth will triumph gloriously. Let the churches begin to do the work that the Lord has given them, the work of opening the scriptures to those who are in darkness. My brethren and sisters, there are souls in your neighborhood who, if they were judiciously labored for, would be converted. Efforts must be made for those who do not understand the word. Let those who profess to believe the truth become partakers of the divine nature. And when they will see that the fields are ripe for the work that all can do whose souls are prepared by living the word. Australasian Union Conference Record, March 11, 1907. Subheading, Distributing Literature from Door to Door. Brethren and sisters, will you put on the Christian armor? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you will be prepared to walk from house to house, carrying the truth to the people. Sometimes you will find it trying to do this kind of work, but if you go forth in faith, the Lord will go before you and will let His light shine upon your pathway. Entering the homes of your neighbors, to sell or to give away our literature, and in humility to teach them the truths, you will be accompanied by the light of heaven, which will abide in these homes. Review and Herald, May 24, 1906. Subheading, Organizing into Working Bands. In our churches, let companies be formed for service. In the Lord's work, there are to be no idlers. Let different ones unite in labor as fishers of men. Let them seek to gather souls from the corruption of the world into the saving purity of Christ's love. The formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort is a plan that has been presented before me by one who cannot err. If there is a large number in the church, let the members be formed into small companies to work not only for the church members but for unbelievers also. Australasian Union Conference Record, August 15, 1902. Subheading, Like a Well-Drilled Company of Soldiers. Ministers should love order and should discipline themselves, and then they can successfully discipline the Church of God and teach them to work harmoniously, like a well-drilled company of soldiers. If discipline and order are necessary for successful action on the battlefield, the same are as much more needful in the warfare in which we are engaged, as the object to be gained is of greater value and more elevated in character than those for which opposing forces contend on the field of battle. In the conflict in which we are engaged, eternal interests are at stake. Angels work harmoniously. Perfect order characterizes all their movements. The more closely we imitate the harmony and order of the angelic host, the more successful will be the efforts of these heavenly agents in our behalf. Letter 32, 1892. Heading, Relationship of Evangelist and Pastor. Subheading, Evangelists and Pastors Needed. God calls for evangelists. A true evangelist is a lover of souls. He hunts and fishes for men. Pastors are needed, faithful shepherds who will not flatter God's people or treat them harshly, but who will feed them with the bread of life. The work of every faithful laborer lies close to the heart of him who gave himself for the redemption of the race. Letter 21, 1903. Subheading, Evangelist Pastor. One man usually performs the labor which should be shared by two. For the work of the evangelist is necessarily combined with that of the pastor, bringing a double burden upon the worker in the field. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 260, 1876. Subheading, Confidence in the New Laborer. Let not the laborer be fearful that because a new laborer is introduced to the people, the interest will be interrupted and the work in which he is engaged will be marred. Keep your hands off the ark. God will take care of his work. Additional light will flash forth from the men who are sent of God, who are laborers together with God, and the original worker should receive God's messengers cordially, treat them respectfully, and invite them to unite with them and speak to the people. Manuscript 21, 1894. Heading, Guarding Against Over-Organization. Subheading, Motion Not Necessarily Life. It is not orthodox theories, not membership in the church, not the diligent performance of a certain round of duties that gives evidence of life. In an ancient tower in Switzerland, I saw the image of a man that moved as if it possessed life. It looked like a living man, and I whispered when I came near, as if it could hear me. But though the image looked like life, it had no real life. It was moved by machinery. Motion is not necessarily life. We may go through all the forms and ceremonies of religion, but unless we are alive in Christ, our work is worthless. The Lord calls for living, working, believing Christians. Review and Herald, April 21, 1903. Subheading, Work Made Difficult by Useless Inventions. Men make the work of advancing the truth tenfold harder than it really is by seeking to take God's work out of his hands into their own finite hands. They think they must be constantly inventing something to make men do things which they suppose these persons ought to do. The time thus spent is all the while making the work more complicated, for the great chief work is left out of the question in the care of his own heritage. Men undertake the job of tinkering up the defective characters and only succeed in making the defects much worse. They would better leave God to do his own work, for he does not regard them as capable of reshaping character. Instead of toiling to prepare set rules and regulations, you might better be praying and submitting your own will and your ways to Christ. He is not pleased when you make hard the thing he has made easy. He says, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord Jesus loves his heritage, and if men will not think it their special prerogative to prescribe rules for their fellow laborers, but will bring Christ's rules into their life and copy his lessons, then each will be an example and not a judge. Manuscript 44, 1894. Subheading, Contrary to Human Planning. Unless those who can help in blank are aroused to a sense of their duty, they will not recognize the work of God when the loud cry of the third angel shall be heard. When light goes forth to lighten the earth, instead of coming up to the help of the Lord, they will want to bind about his work to meet their narrow ideas. Let me tell you that the Lord will work in his last work in a manner very much out of the common order of things, and in a way that will be contrary to any human planning. There will be those among us who will always want to control the work of God, to dictate even what movements shall be made when the work goes forward under the direction of the angel, who joins the third angel in the message to be given to the world. God will use ways and means by which it will be seen that he is taking the reins in his own hands. The workers will be surprised by the simple means that he will use to bring about and perfect his work of righteousness. Testimonies to Ministers, page 300. 1885.